Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, firmly ensconced in the newly decorated Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Glad you're here. Big show planned for you tonight. It's always more fun when you get involved, though. 312-981-7200 is the number. That's the phone. That's the text. When you call in, you'll be talking to Cody. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe we're back here on a Sunday night golf. He's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. And you can also keep in touch with us via social media. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. So there you go. That's it. I can't believe it. A Sunday night, and we're here. When was the last Sunday night we were here, Cody? Sometime in mid-October. October, correct?
It was mid-October, the Sunday before Halloween.
Sunday before Halloween, and when is and we've got this Sunday, and then as you termed it, this is the penultimate show of the year for us.
It is.
Because next Sunday will be our final show of 2016. And we love the Blackhawks, don't get us wrong. We do, we love the Blackhawks, except from like November through, well, hopefully they go through April and June. So that's, you know, so good for them. But we will be here tonight, and we are happy to be here. Karen Conti will be here, of course, after 8 o'clock. She'll be answering your legal questions. Yes, of course we're going to talk about Hamilton. Why wouldn't we? After 7 o'clock, we'll get into the whole debate raging. Vice President-elect went to see Hamilton. If you don't know the story, you obviously have not been watching any sort of news coverage, reading the paper, or just going to any Broadway productions this weekend. So we'll talk about that, of course, after 7 o'clock and get your thoughts on that. This is, I got to say, every year I am always impressed when I come in. Tree Time, the good folks at TreeTime.com, have decorated the studio with their holiday finery. The Christmas tree is up. You know, Roger, what is my favorite part of the Christmas decoration every year?
The best, your favorite part of the Christmas decoration?
Favorite part?
The eggnog.
No.
Spiked eggnog.
Santa's groin in the studio. That's my favorite part.
Well, wait a minute.
Every
year. I didn't look around the corner. Is it there?
Of course it's there.
I missed it last night.
Santa's pelvis prominently displayed. It's even doing a little, this year, it's got a little thrust to it, it appears.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kind of stuffed up there a little extra firmly?
I don't know, but that's always my favorite part. They do a great job. The tree is phenomenal this year. Every year there's a different tree, and we've got...
Do you see the little elves along the windows now? Little WGN 720 elves?
Yeah. Beautiful. I see that. That's, everything looks nice. But I was eager to see if Santa's groin would make an appearance.
Yeah.
And once again, it has.
You are not disappointed.
Kudos to my friends at TreeTime.com for bringing Santa's groin back. That to me... signals a holiday. I know a lot of people said, well, you know, the Michigan Avenue Light Festival,
right,
that's the start of the holidays for them.
No.
When they see the first tree come out at Costco in, like, August,
mm-hmm,
that's usually the start of the holiday season for them. Not for me.
No.
For me, the holidays start when Santa's groin appears in the Allstate Showcase studio.
You know what you should do?
No.
Take one of the legs, kind of bend it up, tape it to the side, and then take, like, a rolled-up piece of paper, white paper, and stick it up in the legs like he's, like, busted a leg and his bone is sticking out.
Why would I vandalize
beautiful
decorations?
Well, they've stuffed him up in there already.
Why would that makes no sense. There's absolutely no chance that I'm going to do anything to deface this beautiful decoration. I feel jolly tonight. Don't I sound jolly?
Yes, you do.
Sure, I'm jolly or drunk. But I'm mostly jolly because we're here. It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to this. I do like the lights on Michigan Avenue. We haven't been here to enjoy them. Were you, Cody, did you come down for, I know you like to come down for large rallies. You were here for the Cubs rally. You're here for marching. Not even with a protest. You just like to march up and down Michigan Avenue. Did you come down for the big Magnificent Mile lights parade?
Nah, I missed it.
Did you?
Yeah.
You didn't want to see Mickey? Mickey Mouse, 80 years old.
It was cold and there's no snow, and I hate when there's no snow.
Really?
I hate when there's no snow.
Okay, relax.
Wait, you mean you hate it being cold with no snow?
Yeah. Why?
Oh.
What's the point in being cold if you don't get to enjoy the snow? And I take the train everywhere, so I don't care about traffic and roads. That doesn't affect me. I just want to see pretty snow.
Boy, well, you're not going to get pretty snow in the city.
Yeah, you
get slushy, black, nasty snow in the city.
No, it can still be pretty.
Nah.
There's trees.
No,
the snow on the trees is pretty.
I don't want the snow. I'm already up to here, and my head is right next to the top. My hand is right next to the top of my head. I'm already up to here with people complaining about how cold it is. First of all,
just got
the
cold.
Other day it was 60. Right.
Yeah.
And it's the end of November. And it's Chicago. So toughen up. As Hamp would say, put on your big boy pants. Because I had to caution my lovely wife yesterday. It's so cold. It's so cold. I was like, all right, I get it. But you know what? It's November. It's going to be cold till April. So zip it. I don't want to hear any more about it. I know it's cold. I've got a thermometer in my car. I walked outside. I understand. We can't complain about how cold it is the first weekend that it's cold. Because that sets us up for a miserable, how many months is that? Like 6 months?
Yeah.
Six more months of cold? And if we're going to complain already that it's cold, no thanks.
I think it's because people were have been so spoiled for so long. See, it was warm enough for baseball, which went way longer than people are used to.
That's the problem with people who are spoiled.
Yes.
Spoiled little brats. The whole place, the whole city, the whole country, everybody's a spoiled. Oh, we better just stay warm forever. Then move to where it's warm. Don't start belly aching. And on February, what's today? November 20th? November 20th. Don't start bellyaching on November 20th that you had to put a coat on finally. You know? And how about you just revel in the fact that Thursday people were in shorts and Friday people were in shorts?
It was golfing Wednesday.
Yeah, of course. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to pay the piper.
Yep.
You can't enjoy all that warm weather. It's going to get cold. Now, Cody, they're very, very excited for you. They're predicting a huge snow accumulation this winter.
I'm
higher than normal.
I feel
50
like I heard,
inches.
Didn't I hear that last year, though?
Yes.
And then nothing?
The weather monkeys don't know. But they're saying we're going to pay. We're paying for last year, not getting any. So this year we're going to get 50 inches.
I heard that last
all
year.
All at once. I guess in one day.
One day
50 inches in a day. It's all going to come on a random Thursday.
Roger, you're not allowed to drive on Lakeshore.
I know. If there are any blizzard warnings, any forecasts for that, Roger, really, you have to stay home.
I'm staying home.
Because I'm still taking grief about giving you a hard time for getting stuck the last time.
Why?
And when was that? I don't know. Why? Because people have nothing else to complain about. It's cold! All right, complain about that. Lay off. When was that blizzard? 2011?
Oh, my God. It's ages
25.
Ago. I've forgotten about it.
It was 10 or 11 for sure.
It might have been 11. That's almost five years ago. 5 years ago. People still upset.
February, so that would have been...
I haven't thought out yet, actually. But that's okay.
Well, if you haven't thought out yet, then you really need to go to a vascular surgeon and find out what's the matter with you. Because if your circulation is that poor that 5 years later you still have a chill,
yes.
Seriously, I don't. I have no sympathy for you. You got to search out the doctor.
I've got a solution for Cody's snow problem, though. You know the inflatables people put on their front lawns?
Yeah.
You know, huge snowmen and Santas and stuff.
You know, I'm a big fan of those. Mm-hmm.
Well, they have those big, huge snow globes now.
I'm going to spin. Cody doesn't have a yard.
It doesn't matter. Go to someone else's yard who has one and, like, slip inside of it and stand there as they blow the fake snow around them. That's the solution for it.
I'll take this under consideration.
How about I just take a can of aerosol snow and coat him with it right now? Or hit him up with the fire extinguisher.
Work.
Use a stencil.
Yes, I always carry a can of aerosol snow with me.
I figured.
Special. Well, not. I'll be honest. I don't usually start carrying it till Friday. I wait till Thanksgiving. I give Thanksgiving its due, which is getting glossed over again, but I'm not, I'm not going to complain about it. Thanksgiving always gets glossed over.
What do you mean?
Well, we're in such a rush to get to Christmas.
Everyone's celebrating Christmas, and then they say, oh, wait, we got to stop for
Halloween,
a little turkey.
It's Christmas, Then we have one day, oh, let's have a big dinner and get gluttonous and wear elastic waist pants.
Yeah. Might I point out that this year, Thanksgiving is giving us more days off work for us 9-to-5ers than Christmas, because Christmas Eve is a Saturday
and
Christmas Day is a Sunday.
That's a rip.
It's nothing. So
that
Thanksgiving this year is the highlight because you get Thursday and Friday off if you're most places.
And you probably get off early on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
And some of you are off tomorrow because you just, whatever. You save some days
schools
up.
Schools are out Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to be in kindergarten the next 2 days because the teacher is down in Florida basking herself.
Oh, already?
Oh, sure. So she took off. So I'm doing, next 2 weeks, I'm doing kindergarten. Weep for the future, America. I'm teaching the youth. And kindergarten anymore, you don't just sit around and pick your nose and color.
Oh, no.
They pick their nose, but there's a lot of technology.
Mm-hmm.
They use iPads.
Gotta make them work.
They're doing all kinds of stuff in kindergarten. They're actually trying to teach them things.
No.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Oh, it was Groundhog Day 2011 was the...
Is that what it was?
Was the blizzard.
Mm. Yeah, I got a lot of people who, when I put a picture of snow on my Facebook page, they start yelling at me to stay off the drive.
Yeah, well, come on. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I wasn't alone. It's not like I was the only one on the drive at that time.
No, a bunch of lunatics.
The CTA buses were on the drive.
Well, I blame the CTA.
Come on. Fire engines were on the drive.
I blame Obama. Let's do this. If you're going to travel, that's right. I threw that. Listen, we got to throw a few more at him before he takes off.
Please don't call.
No, don't call. I'm kidding. No, people would be calling. He's right. Let's do this. If you're traveling on Wednesday, I have some bad news for you. And I know that'll make you stick around. We'll get to that on the other side. It's WGN. Somebody pointed out we were talking about the snow and the last blizzard. This will be the 50th anniversary of the blizzard of 67. The 50th anniversary. I remember that blizzard. I was a very, very young boy. I was only a couple years old. But I remember my dad getting stuck, hearing stories about my dad getting stuck, almost like you, Roger. He got stuck on the Bishop Ford, or the Dan Ryan, I guess. He had to go to the, where's the, you know, where the granaries are there, like 100 and...
Oh, further south, yeah.
Yeah, he was in the fire station there. He had to stay in the fire station. Yeah, crazy.
Did he get, like, caught? Was it a regular shift, do you remember?
Snowed in.
He got caught? Oh.
No, he's not a fireman. He was a CPS. He was an assistant principal at the time.
Oh, and he got stuck
He got stuck trying to get home. Yep.
Yeah, I was in high school at the time. I remember it.
You were in a high school or in high school?
No. I was in high school.
In high school.
Yeah, and it was the first time. And I mentioned this last night on the air, but it was the first time Evanston Township High School in its history had ever been closed the next day because the buses couldn't get through.
Nice.
Not because the teachers couldn't drive or kids couldn't walk.
The buses.
But the buses, which brought in most of the kids, couldn't get through. But it was only for one day, and then the roads were open again.
Well, that's it. So there you go. Hopefully Cody will be very excited. Oh, and then he'll start. Then he'll find something else to complain about. Once all the snow comes, they'll complain there's too much snow, and then somebody's not shoveling, and blah, 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 blah. Hey, are you traveling this week for Thanksgiving? Guess what? O'Hare is going to be one of the busiest airports in the world, or in the country, which is true. Busiest airport expected to be Chicago O'Hare International Airport, followed by Hartsfield Jackson in Atlanta and LAX in Los Angeles. So I am so glad we're not going anywhere. Wednesday, I think one of my brothers is flying in for Thanksgiving. That's the buzz on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's smart enough to wait, and he flies on Thursday morning because he comes in from Minneapolis. So I think they'll just fly in on Thursday rather than try to fly in on Wednesday. Because if you want to fly out on Wednesday, you're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
You're just a sucker at that point. Because you know how crazy it's going to be. Every news organization, starting probably, what, Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Tuesday night for the 10 o'clock news, will be, in anticipation of tomorrow's big rush, they will be out at the airports. Then starting early Wednesday morning, every morning show will be out there showing us at this. The terminals are still empty, but, it's the calm before the storm. Mm-hmm. The travel tsunami is about to begin, and then we'll have to listen to that. And you guys upstairs on the seventh floor, you'll be all over
it. It'll be all gloom and doom.
Covering. Oh, I can't believe it. And you would think that after all these years, people would go, well, man, I'm not traveling on Wednesday.
No.
I've watched these reports my entire life. But nope.
Every
people
year.
Can't wait to get out.
Yeah.
Just, here's the thing. I've done this once before when we had to fly for Thanksgiving. I flew on Thanksgiving morning. And yes, you miss out on maybe a couple of hours of family time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much easier.
Now, when would you come back? Would you come back on Friday or stay the weekend?
Saturday morning, maybe.
So before the mad rush.
Before the madness. Don't travel with the madness. But if you are traveling, maybe you're staying at a hotel if you're smart and not staying with your family. Tell you some things to avoid on the other side of the news. WGN. All right, a lot of people traveling. We know that. We hear all the time that this is going to be the busiest travel day of the year, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Some of you will be going to family, and you'll stay at your childhood home or maybe a relative's house, whatever. But some of us will be traveling, and by some of us, I mean not me because I'm here. But some of you will be traveling and staying in a hotel, which I always think is wise. I would much rather, if I'm going to visit people, stay in a hotel, because then if things go south, or just I like having my own space, so I like going back to the hotel, which is fine. But we've all stayed in hotels and thought to ourselves, how skeevy is everything in this room? Everything kind of looks clean, but maybe it's not really clean. And if you're like me, you try to put that out of your head. Because anytime I think about it too much, I picture Dave Savini in his black light. And then holding it over the bedspread at a hotel and it looking like a snail homicide scene. There are just trails of goo everywhere. So if you're eating, this may not be a proper dinner conversation. Just a warning. But we've all had it. And if you want to weigh in on the grossest thing you've seen in a hotel, by all means, 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text. And I know Cody can't wait to hear your stories. But I saw this and I was like, well, maybe people need a refresher before they head out for the holidays. Because you're going to get into a hotel room, and even the best hotel rooms, things that look clean might not be clean. And we've all heard, basically, y'all, you know, right? The most bacteria is where? On the remote control.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone. They say the phone, but who uses a hotel phone anymore?
Wake up call? No.
No.
They don't need the phones. I mean, your cell phones have alarms.
Right. And yeah. I'm trying to think if I leave. No, I don't even leave wake up calls at the hotel with the hotel phone anymore. I just use my cell phone.
Right. No, if you want to make sure you're awake, you do the wake up.
You
call.
You do a wake up call. All right, so that's the only reason.
All right.
Then to call for pizza. No, but they always charge you for a lot of places charge you for local calls. So again, I'll use my cell phone to call for the to make any calls other than down to the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll call down and ask for extra towels. Or to tell them that the room's on fire or something like
or
that.
Or the Wi-Fi's not working.
Sure. Something. Yeah. What's the password?
What's the
it's
password?
It's written in the key in the envelope with your key, sir. Yeah, I didn't have time to look at that. Just tell me. Just tell me. I'm impatient.
I've called you already. Come on.
So a study entitled Hotel Hygiene Exposed found the highest bacteria-filled areas were where the bathroom counter and the remote control. It's an ABC News investigation. So here are the places. These are the most germ-infested objects and places in your room. So the remote control, of course. And who thinks about that? We all just go in, pick up the remote control, turn on the TV. I even did it in Spain. And I had no idea what was on in Spain. I watched an episode of Deadwood in Spanish. It's fascinating.
Ooh.
Fascinating. So it's one of the dirtiest items, according to this. The cleaning staff has a quick turnaround time for rooms, and rarely do they disinfect the random items, such as your remote. Your remote may have the same amount of bacteria as your toilet seat. I don't know what you're doing to your remote.
How delightful.
I don't know what's going on with that remote, that it has the same bacteria, more bacteria than your toilet seat. What it does tell me is that you pigs are not washing your hands. That's what it tells
me. You pick your nose and you change the channel.
Come on.
Well.
Roger, don't be graphic. We don't need to be graphic. You're just being gratuitous now. Shock jockery. We don't need that to garner listeners. We don't need to be graphic.
All right.
The phone, we've already mentioned. According to an investigation in 5 of the top hotel chains in the country, phones were teeming with bacteria. People touch them a lot, but they also breathe into them. So germs spread easily. Here's a tip. It says bring disinfectant wipes. You ever pack disinfectant wipes when you go on a trip, Corey?
Yeah.
No.
You do, Roger?
Yeah, we've kept them, sure.
You've kept disinfectant wipes?
Yeah, the little packets.
Man.
Small packets.
Just
not
swab
like the big
stuff off?
Yeah. Not like this big jug-sized thing that we got up here, but the little packets, and we buy some.
There you go. And then you can wipe down the phone before you use it, wipe down the remote.
Mm-hmm.
The bathroom counter. I have never thought about the bathroom counter. I figure that's one of the things they have to clean, right?
Sure.
They're going to come in, they're going to change the sheets, they're going to, probably not the bedspread, we know that doesn't get changed a lot, but I'm always going to look at the sheets, and I look at the bathroom counter, and it looks pretty clean, and the plastic cups are up there that have all been, they're wrapped. Everything looks clean. No, no. Be careful before you touch the bathroom counter, especially the sink. According to a study, in 3-star hotels that were tested, yeast, gram-positive cocci, and gram-positive cocci, type 2, were all found on the bathroom counter.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's gross.
You would think that, but they clean that stuff with, like, disinfectant smelling cleaning stuff.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they just walk in and take the dirty towel they use to dry your body and just wipe it down so it looks clean.
You know what I want them to do?
Huh?
Is I want them to do this study with Airbnbs.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I know. I don't want to even think about that.
Do you think they're dirtier?
Because
think about it. If I clean my bathroom, I'm going to scrub everything.
Right.
So it tells the problem is that they just got a
high turnover.
Clean
you're right. Because I've stayed at a number of Airbnbs, or not Airbnbs, like VRBO, whatever.
Sure.
Same kind of deal, same idea. But, those have been very clean when I've checked into them. Because, again, those are people who are vying against thousands of others, where a hotel's pretty much count on they're going to get business. But if you get a couple bad reviews on Airbnb or VRBO, one of those, nobody's going to stay at your place. You know, and the biggest thing people are going to worry about is clean. If you read the reviews, that's the top thing people mention. Oh, it was clean and it looked just like the pictures. That's what they want.
But the problem with cleaning hotels is they've got this quick service and they've only got a few minutes for each thing. So they're not, wiping down the sink and things like that.
But you would think it would be so easy for them to do that, just use a disinfect, use wipes. I know it probably run into a little more, but they have the, you see all the spray bottles. I've watched housekeepers come into my, come into rooms before, peering through the peephole that I've drilled behind the mirror.
I don't know how long you've lived in America, Brian, but this is capitalism. Listen,
I don't know if you're going to try, if, what is that, what are you insinuating?
Listen, businesses to maximize profit should, you know, they don't have to spend money on sanitation wipes to wipe everything down. Then why would they? What's the incentive?
Well, the incentive is that people don't get sick and they want to come to your place.
No one's getting sick.
I've had it where I think the room is clean and I make the mistake of trying to plug something in, so I scoot the nightstand a little bit.
Ugh.
Oh, that's like a portal into hell. You look down there and there is everything from French fries to fingers to anything else.
Fingers?
Literal fingers.
Wow.
Somebody's finger. I didn't always have money to stay at two-star hotels. Sometimes I slummed it. But yeah, that's never move. Never. It's like when, in Apocalypse Now, when they told them never get out of the boat, never get out of the boat, never move the nightstand, never. Cause I guarantee it, from the time that nightstand was placed there when the hotel opened, that nightstand has never been moved till I kind of jiggered it around to try to reach down and plug something into the wall. That was a big mistake.
Yeah.
That's no. And I don't even look under beds anymore. Now, most hotel beds, they have the rail,
it's a solid bottom. Piece of wood,
anymore?
Yeah.
Anymore?
Well, every once in yeah, anymore. You've never looked under a hotel bed?
Before he turns the lights out, he wants to make sure
there's no monsters.
Yeah.
And I also want to make sure, like, and I'm the most anal retentive guy ever, so when I have dirty clothes, if I'm in a hotel room for more than a night and I've unpacked, which a lot of people freak out, you unpack? And my wife even used to yell at me because I would unpack and put, if I was staying at a place for 3 or 4 nights, I'd unpack so I didn't have to keep getting stuff out of a suitcase. And she was like, oh my God, you're putting your stuff in the drawers at the hotel?
Oh, good Lord. Like, you and your wife are totally opposite of me and Bridget. Totally. She comes in immediately, starts putting stuff in drawers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm keeping it in my suitcase. If there's a fire, I'm grabbing it and going. I've got my stuff.
Oh, she doesn't care about the fire. She thinks there's some sort of vermin living
in
the press board dresser at the Motel 6.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
I just don't agree with that.
Don't agree with what? Unpacking?
Who lives in a dresser?
Who lives in a dresser? I don't know.
How
bugs?
Small would a person have to be to live in a dresser?
Not a person. There's no people in there. She thinks there's bugs or
critters. I know.
Critters.
It'd be ridiculous if people were in there. That's too tiny.
Nobody's living in a dresser. Moon Mullins used to sleep in a dresser drawer, but that was back in the 30s.
Who?
Moon Mullins.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Cartoon character.
That's right.
He doesn't
Bam.
Know.
That's right.
He doesn't know.
You got to look up Moon Mullins, comic strip character from
Great
back in the day.
Gasoline Alley.
Gasoline slept in a dresser drawer. I actually used that reference yesterday on somebody because they were describing how when they were first married, they lived in a tiny apartment and their kid didn't have a room. He just kind of slept over in the corner. And I was like Moon Mullins in a dresser. And she is a few years older than me. She didn't get the reference either.
Oh, my God.
I was born in the wrong time.
Yeah.
That's the problem with me. All right. Here's some other things to disgust you as you go into your hotel. Always put the remote in a Ziploc bag. That's a good tip from the 312. So carry a Ziploc bag, put it in. Well, I think at some point germs are good for you. The comforter. Oh, yeah, the comforter we've talked about. The comforter is just, no. I know people, my wife included, who walk into a hotel room, first thing they do is ball that comforter up and throw it in the corner. They don't want it anywhere near their bed. They don't want to think about it. They freak out. Because people do all sorts of horrific and unspeakable things in hotel rooms. They have sexy time in there, right on top. They don't even wait. Don't even wait to pull the sheets down. And the ice bucket. Oh, I've never thought of this. This is another item hotel maids tend to skip over. They are full of contamination and germs. Oh, my God. If that's not enough, the ice machine itself is another item that rarely gets cleaned. Tip, if you really need ice, call the front desk and ask for plastic bags to hold ice. Most hotels now, even the lower-end hotels, have plastic bags in the ice bucket rather than just the ice bucket.
You know? Oh, right. Coating
a little,
it. Right.
Liner, a little plastic liner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's that. Or just, drink your stuff warm as God intended it. Hey, Slim Jims?
Yeah.
They're in trouble. We'll talk about what Slim Jim hopes to accomplish and are there chances of accomplishing it? Slim or none? Oh, I said it. That's right. It's WGN. know, there's certain foods that you loved as a child, but perhaps as you advance in age, you don't care about anymore. They kind of fall off your palate, and you just think to yourself, nah, I don't really, there's nothing really there I want to eat anymore. Well, Slim Jims, Cody, I know you used to like Slim Jims because they were endorsed by Randy Macho Man Savage.
Still do.
And do you still like Slim Jims?
Love them.
You snap into a Slim Jim?
I snap all the time.
Well, Slim Jim needs to grow up. That's what Conagra is saying. Their CEO came out the other day at a recent investors meeting and declared that Slim Jims needs to mature. The second largest brand in a growing meat snacks category. I didn't know there was a meat snacks category. Other than jerky and Slim Jims, what are the meat snacks? That's pretty much it, right? Jerky and beef sticks. I can't think of any other meat-based snacks. But anyway, Slim Jim's projected to bring in about $575 million in sales this year. That seems like a lot, doesn't it? A lot of people, I guess a lot of people eat Slim Jim's.
A lot of truck stops.
There are a lot of truck stops and 7-Elevens throughout this great land of ours. That's what makes America great. Meat snacks. Anytime you want them, anywhere. 24/7, you can find yourself a meat snack.
It's a low-carb alternative is the best part.
But isn't it high salt and fat?
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Well, high salt content. I don't know how the fat content is. Was the fat content pretty high?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. No, I don't have a Slim Jim right in front of me. I didn't bring any in to do, you know, to try them out. As I said, I have not had a Slim Jim. Maybe college? Maybe college? I've never been a big Slim Jim fan. No offense to Conagra or Slim Jim.
Yeah.
They're going to be up 35% from $425 million in sales in 2012. Holy cow. But they claim, and this is a quote, they're leaving meat stick money on the table. And that's not a euphemism for anything. They're leaving meat stick money on the table as consumers of the elongated tubed jerky grow older. This I'm reading from the Tribune. And I'm fascinated by Greg Trotter's use of words here. Elongated tubed jerky. Is that how you would describe a Slim Jim?
Well, it's a tube.
I know, but jerky is hard, like, and Slim Jim, you just snap right through it. You don't snap right through jerky. Even the gourmet jerky that's a little softer, a little thicker, you know, a higher grade jerky than the...
It's been so long, been so long since I had one.
Well, they say the Slim Jim is fun when you're a teenager, but not a lot of young men walking into the office chewing on a stick. That is from Conagra's vice president, senior vice president. See, a lot of guys, you're a millennial, Cody. You guys are out doing things, wearing your skinny jeans and growing your beards out. Do you see a lot of guys your age eating Slim Jims?
Or
do you do those in shame in the privacy of your own home?
I've bought at least 10 Slim Jims this year. Maybe 20.
The year's almost over. That doesn't seem like a lot. A
couple of months. That's not bad. It's not on my grocery list, but when I go to 7-Eleven.
You don't have the giant box retail ready right on your counter?
Nah.
So when you walk by every day, you just snap into a Slim Jim on your way out?
I should.
So they're saying it's time to revitalize. And it's all about branding, and it's all about trying to get young people now to embrace something that they used to really enjoy but may have fallen out of favor. So they need to up the sales of Slim Jim. So they're going to do what they're going to retool it a little bit. They did it, Kraft did it with mac and cheese, you know, the blue box, the original mac and cheese. They redid it. They changed some packaging. They did a little upgrade, so to speak. So that worked out. So there is going to be a Slim Jim growth spurt, they hope. They are going to have a lower calorie, lower saturated fat Slim Jim turkey stick available pretty soon. Would that interest you, Cody? Slim. I told you, lower saturated fat, lower calorie.
I'm telling you, this is the millennial thing. They've already got a leg up because it's low in sugar and carbs.
Right.
And those are the two worst things you can eat according to every diet these
days. So you got to go. So now they're going to get rid of. They're going to lower the saturated fat, which is key for a guy like me, and lower the calories, which is fine. Again, we still have to see. But these are going to be turkey ones. Now, the original sticks, of course, made with beef, pork, and chicken. And then, listen to this. This will turn, I can't wait for the encased tubed meat snack snobs to begin to emerge. Because there will be a Slim Jim Black. Slim Jim Black. The multi-serving packages will feature smaller, more discreet sticks made with higher quality meat, more upscale attributes, and more contemporary flavors.
Are we going to start doing matchings with wine now?
I'm going to have to. When Slim Jim Black comes out, we will have them in with the people from Binney's, and we'll do pairings of beers and wines with the high-end Slim Jim.
That'd be great.
Why, if it's so embarrassing to eat a Slim Jim that you have to create discreet meat sticks, that doesn't seem like it bodes well for your product. If your product is so shameful that you have to figure out a way to make it so people don't really know that other people are eating it, maybe you need to just rethink the tubed meat jerky snack theory.
Who's embarrassed to eat a Slim Jim?
I don't know, but upscale millennials need more discreet sticks with higher quality meat.
Who judges people for eating a Slim Jim? Like, if I walked in here, who's going to look at me and say, oh, Cody's slapping into a Slim Jim?
It depends. Is it a regular size Slim Jim, or is it one of those super long ones, like 3 feet, the yardstick Slim Jim?
It doesn't matter. I'm not well, waiting that, in no, the that, face with it.
No, that one I would go, dude, you couldn't get a couple small ones? Unless it was on sale, because that just seems cumbersome, a 3 foot Slim Jim. Then you're gnawing on it like a gerbil all day. You know, a regular size Slim Jim, I got no problem with that. I got no problem with people eating that. So they're trying to get these out by next winter. It's still being developed, but the meat might be sourced from grass-fed, antibiotic-free animals. At that point, just go out for a steak. What are you doing?
I need grass-fed organic Slim Jims, please, in a discreet package with upscale meats and other attributes. And if you could put them in a little package with some cheese, that would be fantastic, too. I would love that. And make the packaging very expensive looking. And then charge me $78.
All right. I don't know if you know this, but the vice president-elect went to the theater on Friday, and all hell broke loose. We'll talk about Vice President-elect Pence's visit to Hamilton and your thoughts on that after the news on WGN. We're going to talk about the story that has pretty much dominated the headlines since Friday night, or early Friday night, really. That's when I saw it when I first got home from my theater experience, because, you know, I'm also in the theater. And as such, was labeled by someone I was talking to about this yesterday, one of those people. Oh, you're one of those people. And I was like, what? What kind of people? And it's, you know, one of those people. I said, oh, you mean like people who have creative thoughts and stand up for other people's rights, things like that? Those are those kind of people? Yeah. So,
who have a job.
Hold on, Roger. Just relax. We got this handled. You can jump in after we lay things out.
Yes, sir.
You know the deal. Mike Pence went to see Hamilton, an American musical, which is sold out until I think the next four presidents will be out of office. I think that's how many tickets they've sold to Hamilton. I cannot wait till Tuesday, January 3rd, when I finally get to see Hamilton, an American musical, here in Chicago. So I'm very excited about it. I was listening to this is my life, Cody. I was listening to the Hamilton soundtrack as I cut up pineapples earlier today. That's right. That's how I live. Big time. So Mike Pence goes to the theater, the Richard Rodgers Theater in New York. He's going to see Hamilton. He's got his nephew and his daughter with him. And he goes in and he is greeted by a mixed reaction, I think, would be a fair assessment. There are a number of boos and there are a number of cheers. Mike Pence's arrival at the theater sounded something like this. It sounded like there were more cheers at the beginning, then a couple of the boos got louder depending on who was recording it. But anyway, the reaction was mixed. So then by all reports, the show goes off without a hitch. Everything's wonderful. The cast comes out for a curtain call, standing ovation as they always get at the end of Hamilton. And at this point, now during the curtain call, Mike Pence is starting to go, which makes sense because the Secret Service probably trying to get him out before the glut of the crowd traps him in there. So he's beginning to walk up the aisle, not fleeing. Again, by all accounts, he enjoyed the performance. And then One of the actors, the actor who plays Aaron Burr. He plays Aaron Burr. So he took a little piece of paper out of his pocket and read a statement. Now, this is where things get. And we're going to let you hear this because that's, I think, a lot of people, maybe you just read it, maybe you just heard about it, you didn't really hear it, and people are getting the wrong idea. So let's hear it, and then we will discuss. Cody, go ahead.
The audience this evening. And I encourage everybody to pull out your phones and tweet and post, because this message should be spread far and wide, okay? Vice President-elect Pence, we welcome you and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton and American Music Group. We really do. We, sir, we are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us. Our plans, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir. But we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. Yeah. All of us.
And that was it. And by all accounts, Mike Pence had left, but he was standing just outside the theater, and he did hear it. And this morning on the news programs, Mike Pence himself said that this was not offensive. I heard it. I did not find it offensive in the least. I believe what happened there was heartfelt, respectful. The actor who is whose name Brandon Victor Dixon, he plays Aaron Burr. He was the actor who delivered the message that had been approved by the producers, by the creator of the program, and the cast that was on stage with him. I thought they were very respectful. They delivered a message that just said, hey, they didn't call him names. They didn't bring up any of his policies. They didn't chastise him at anything. They said, listen, we're the people who are worried about what's going to happen, and we hope you will protect us. And I think if you are an elected public figure, there's nothing wrong with people saying that, and especially the arts, because at its best, the arts are meant to challenge and provoke thought. And these are artists who, again, by all accounts, had entertained Mike Pence for the last 2.5 to 3 hours. And I think for them to be able to speak to their elected representative in a unique case and say, listen, we're nervous, don't forget us, is fine. They didn't disrupt the program. The show was already over, because I had a lot of people arguing with me. Well, he paid to see a show, and he did. He saw the show with absolutely no interruptions. He saw the show as it was meant to be seen. And I've had other people say to me, well, shouldn't the art be able to speak for itself and the subtleties of the message, which really aren't so subtle if you know anything about the production of Hamilton. It's not so subtle. It's the story of Alexander Hamilton, who was an immigrant. Well, all the founding fathers were immigrants, let's be honest. And how they brought this country to life and his particular contribution to that. So I was surprised that people were upset about that. And now the booing is a separate issue. I don't like to boo at sporting events or things like that. And I don't know, I understand. Booing is protest. Booing is letting your voice be heard. So while I might not boo, I don't begrudge people booing. Because once you've thrown yourself into the spotlight as now the vice president-elect of this country, and your policies and your past records are well known, you have to expect that there's some people who aren't going to like that. And the reports also said that Mike Pence, when there were boos, said to his daughter, that's what freedom sounds like. And he's absolutely right. So it sounds like Mike Pence knows the deal. I'm sure he's had people, his constituents in Indiana, not happy with some of his choices, and he's heard complaints from them. So this had no, I have no problem with what happened last night, or Friday night. But now last night, there was an incident at the Chicago performance of Hamilton where an allegedly drunken spectator in the balcony, after there's a line in one of the songs, Yorktown. It's the line is, immigrants, we get the job done. This guy yelled out, there's all sorts of different reports of what he yelled, but it was basically, we won, get over it, and then some obscenities. And people said, well, how is that different than what the cast of Hamilton did? And if you can't see how that's different from what the cast of Hamilton did, then no matter what I say, it's not going to change your thoughts. Because an audience member disrupting the performance to shout something out because he didn't agree with a line in the song is completely different than a cast at the end of the show during the curtain call speaking to an elected official. So if you can't see the difference there, there's really not much I can do for you. 312-981-7200, the lines are lighting up. We'll get into that. I want to know what you think. Roger, I know I kind of hushed you before, but I wanted to get this out so people knew what we were talking about and knew where we stood. And it's protest, and that's what it's going to be. But this was protest, I think, in the best possible way. The most respectful way that these actors, who feel very strongly, as they should, because let's be honest, there's a lot of groups of Americans who are a little bit anxious about what's going to happen to them after January. And
sure.
And most of us don't get the opportunity to voice our thoughts directly to our representatives. Mm-hmm. Another friend of mine said, well, wouldn't it have been better if they had just sent an email? Come on. You've got the vice president-elect right in front of you in a mood where he is now receptive to what you've just given him for 3 hours. Maybe a nice, calm statement like this. I don't know if it'll change anything that Mike Pence thinks. Probably not. But maybe there'll be a little seed that might spur something. You know, if they had shouted him down and called him names or encouraged people to boo him, I would have thought differently.
Right.
But none of that happened.
No. And they knew he was going to be there.
Yes.
Because FBI does not take a federal official to a play without checking it out days ahead of time, letting the management know what's going on, casing the joint, for lack of a better description, and letting everyone there know that this person will be in the audience, and right. We will try not to make too much of a hassle for everyone, and sure. He just wants to see the show.
And the show went off
perfectly,
just as it did Thursday night and last night, and it will tomorrow. So the show was not interrupted. Yeah. Mike Pence's daughter and nephew saw the exact same show that thousands and thousands of other people
that you're going to see
will see and have seen.
And when you go in January, February, when you go, you're going to see the same show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, I won't see the original Broadway cast, but I will see the wonderful Chicago
right.
cast.
Now, this goes back. People,
you know what? We
who
gotta,
have... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well,
make your point
saying,
quick.
People who have the platform... at appropriate times, can use it any which way they want. Think back to the Academy Awards, Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Do you remember that incident?
Right, when he sent a Native American.
He sent a Native American to protest American policies. He did not show up. She got up. She accepted the award. She made mm-hmm. her statement, and that was it. So this is not the first time. It is not the first Republican. It's not the first Democrat. It's not the first official that has ever been criticized. I don't want to say it was criticized because it wasn't really a criticism. It was more of a statement of how they felt.
Right. It was, yeah. It was a plea, basically.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. The lines are lighting up. 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. That's how you get a hold of us here at WGN. Again, this was after the performance as he was leaving the hall during the curtain call. I think it was very respectful. They addressed him as Sir, Vice President-elect, and they asked him to think about the people who were nervous about the incoming administration. If these are elected officials that are supposed to represent us, I don't know why we're not allowed to talk to them. You may think differently. 312-981-7200. Let's get your opinion. Jim's in Chicago. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Listening to your comments on Pence, then I agree with you on about 10% of what you've said.
Well, all right, 10% is a start.
I agree that they have a right to speak to an elected official. Obviously, they work for the public. But to say the things they said to Pence, first of all, in a public fashion like that, calling him out of the crowd, I thought was wrong. And secondly, to say that he needs to be concerned with all members of society, you're implying that he only cares about certain members of society, so it is insulting.
Well,
I don't remember anybody calling out Obama when he went to plays or music concerts and saying, you know what, you got to look out for white people. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, they didn't tell him to not just look out for white people. The other night, they told him these are the diverse group of Americans. And let's be honest, Jim,
but he's
Mike Pence. But Mike Pence's record in Indiana would make certain groups a little nervous.
If you're a grown man in a ladies' bathroom, I want you to be nervous.
Well, Mike, that's not who, or Jim, that's not who he's talking about. Thanks for the call. Are all these going to devolve into a... Well, we'll find out. That's why we open it up and we give people a forum. Hi, John. John's in Gurnee. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, guys. Thank you. Great show. You guys hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
My point is that Mike Pence, just like anyone else who showed up, paid the ticket to be there. He's in the audience. Let's say you guys are there and they disagree with your point of view on the radio, and or a doctor there that does abortion or anything like that, and they disagree with their point of view. And then they, at the end of the show, they decide to go ahead and talk to that particular customer, the person who paid the ticket. That's all that I'm talking about here, guys. It's like, it's a great show. I've been there. I've seen it. It was not appropriate time to do that, and it was wrong for him to say it was a conversation. It wasn't. They were talking to him about something, and they had the bully pulpit to do so, but they wanted to see him in the hallway. The man paid a ticket.
Well, and he got his show. He did pay, and I agree with you there, John. If they had interrupted the show to make a statement, I'd say there was a problem. This was at the end. He had seen his show, and he was leaving, and all they did was, you know, we'll play it again. But I appreciate your thoughts and your opinion, John. Thanks for the call. I don't want to cut anybody off. We're going to get a few more people in, hopefully. Len's in Highland Park. Hi, Len.
Hi.
So what do you think?
Well, there's a Republican named Abe Lincoln who really had a bad experience the last play he went to.
Yeah, this was nowhere near that.
Right.
Nowhere near that at all. Mike Pence left happy.
On the same token, you know, all these actor types, and you can say actor types because they are a different breed.
Well, I'm going to take offense to that, Len, because I am also an actor, and I don't believe myself to be a different breed. I believe myself to be an educated, concerned American, a father, a husband, a co-worker, and a friend, and I don't think I'm a different breed just because I perform in plays.
Well, the bottom line is they're profiting on a biography of a man that, if he were around today, probably would have been best friends with Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, that's easy to say. There's nothing we can do to prove that.
And Alexander Hamilton's a compelling story. And
so what does that have to do, Len, with what happened at the theater on Friday?
Well, because they're profiting on a person that probably has similar values to both Trump and Pence.
Well, listening to the story, I don't believe that to be true. But Len, thank you for the call. You know what? I'm that type, Cody. I'm one of those types. All right. Well, if you're on hold and you want to hang on through the news, that's cool. 312-981-7200. I know Cody had some thoughts on this too. We'll get to that. We'll talk about it a little more. And we'll play that statement again because I'm still very curious about where the offense was and where the disrespect was. Maybe if I listen to it for like the 15th time, I'll hear it. Who knows? It's WGN. We're talking about the controversy, real or imagined, that has been created from Vice President-elect Mike Pence's visit to the theater the other night to see a performance of Hamilton, where after that performance, during the curtain call, the cast had a little statement. They addressed it directly to the Vice President-elect as he was leaving the theater. By all reports, he stood outside of the theater and listened to what they had to say. And then this morning on Fox News, he said he didn't believe it was offensive at all. And he had told his daughter when people booed him as he entered the theater that that's what freedom sounds like. So it seems like Mike Pence has a pretty good handle on what it means to be an elected official and the fact that there are going to be people that disagree with you. Other people don't feel the same way. We'll take a couple calls. People been holding on. 312-981-7200. Eduardo is in Tucson. Is that correct? You're in Tucson, Arizona,
yeah,
Eduardo?
Brian. Yeah, I'm on vacation, but I'll be heading back to Chicago on Wednesday.
Well, good to have you. Welcome. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to comment that, you know, George Will had Barack Obama over to his house. So I told your screener that the Hamilton cast should have had Mr. Pence over for dinner and done the same thing.
Oh, I invited him over for a private meeting?
Yeah, I mean, they could have gone somewhere, some nice restaurant and had dinner, and they could have, you know, Mr. Pence, you know, I think you shouldn't forget about us, because even though we didn't vote for you, I think you should, help us out, too. So it would have been a nice dinner conversation. I think that's what it should have been, instead of kind of like
doing it from left field and doing it, you know, in front of an audience. I think it was.
Well, it's an audience, really, an audience that sounded, Eduardo, pretty split between people who supported the vice president-elect and people who didn't. And, you know, I think it gets more, it perhaps would has more effect in front of, in public rather than in private, if they felt this strongly. And these are people who, you know, have a right to feel a little nervous about some of the policies that are being proposed by the incoming administration based on their past
record. I've been telling people, Brian, that you watch and see. This administration is going to make liberals and conservatives uneasy because he's going to do things that are liberal and some things that are going to be conservative. You watch and see.
Well, let's hope that whatever happens in the next 4 to 8 years, it benefits everybody. That's all.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because we're all in this together at the end of the day, Eduardo.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And Bob is in Joliet. Now, Bob, it says here you're a psychology professor and you focus on leadership.
That's right.
Well, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I think that you actually made a really great statement. I think that actually the governor or vice president-elect handled himself very well, and I think he knows. Just like he expressed to his daughter exactly what happened. Now, I actually did not vote for him, but I think that this is a question of people understanding what real leadership is versus what they imagine it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, we don't have kings. We have public servants.
Correct.
And I think that a good leader, and perhaps Mr. Pence will be, I don't know if he is or he isn't, but seems he did good. A good leader recognizes the incredible burden and obligation of his position, and he recognizes that he is now responsible for all those people. He serves them. That's an incredible burden. And so it's his job to, in fact, understand that they will talk to him, and if he goes into their house, that he has to be a respectful guest, mm-hmm. just as if he went over to the Kremlin or if they – Putin came over here. Our leaders take opportunities when another leader is in their playground to sometimes make points.
Correct.
We accept that as national, you know, international politics, but that's exactly what happened here. But the people don't understand that maybe some do, some don't, that it is also their responsibility to try and respect that office, whether they like the man. They should always respect the office because.
Well, Bob, let me ask you, if I may, did you hear anything mm-hmm. in that statement that sounded disrespectful? Because for the life of me, I've listened to it numerous times. They chastised people who booed. They mm-hmm. called him vice president-elect and sir.
It was perfect. You know, your last caller had a point, not necessarily a better, but a different one. But that could have been another way of doing it and void him there personally. But mm-hmm. they did that very respectfully. And I don't know what Vice President-elect Pence really felt. We can only go on what he said.
Right.
He seems to have gotten it. It's the other folks that really just kind of said, ooh. A friend of mine said, boy, if I had paid for a ticket like this, I'd be upset. He ruined my night. Well, that's what a regular person has a right to feel. But,
sure.
if, you know, the vice president-elect knows should know different, and these are his people. He went to their home. Well, then he knows he should listen. And they did a very respectful job in presenting an important thought.
Well, Bob, I appreciate your input.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the call. And somebody said now, so a theater is somebody's house. Yes, when you're performing, that theoretically is your house. And the audience is called guests, and the audience, and yes, they're coming into your house. And as long as they deliver what you paid for, I think that, again, I think that's fine. Now, let's see. After a weekend of mistakenly getting into a Facebook war with extended family, so grateful you guys are on. Living here, you guys, blah. With all due respect, Bob is way off base. This wasn't their home. This was a place of business. Right. Home in the theoretic sense where this is where they ply their trade. This is their office. You've come into their workplace. You've come into their house. And I used to use that term when I did stand up. Other people use that term that this is our house. You don't come into our house and do this. Cody, I know you've been chomping at the bit. You have something you wanted to add to this.
No, that's
and
cool.
Now you're well, no, you don't get to pull that. Oh, what a that's kind of a wuss move right there, Cody.
Uh-huh.
You were all fired up. I have something I want to say on this when we're on the air. Okay. And now I give you the opportunity. No, that's okay. What happened?
Well, it's funny because when I first saw the headline in the trending hashtag on Twitter, boycott Hamilton, because you know that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, they can boycott it because nobody can get tickets.
Yeah.
So it's easy to boycott something you can't get tickets to. And if you have tickets, the people will be very happy if you release them, you mm-hmm. know, the people who want to go see it. So, I think that's a hashtag that's not going to get a lot of traction in the real world.
Well, here's what happened personally with me. I see this, and then I read the statement, and I go, okay, the Hamilton cast said something to Mike Pence and called him out in the crowd. And I, at first, was like, you know what? That was kind of lame. They shouldn't have done that.
Okay.
I wasn't on board. I didn't.
That's
I also,
fine.
You know, I would have said it's disrespectful, et cetera. I didn't want to listen to the audio because I assumed it would just be really awkward.
Right, and it would make you angry or cement your opinion that it was disrespectful.
It would just be awkward.
Okay.
No, I don't like awkward situations.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear, you know, look at this awkward thing. So I didn't watch it until you said pull the audio, and I went today and I watched it. And when I actually watched the 60-second clip and saw how positive and high energy and respectful and everything it was, I realized I was falling victim to this headline culture we live in,
mm-hmm.
which is just, I spend all my day on social media for my job, and it's what social media is. It's this headline culture where you see the first, it's not even that you click. It's you see the first bullet point,
right.
You see Hamilton cast, and you can write it 20 different ways. Hamilton cast blasts Pence after right. musical, or makes a statement after musical,
sure.
or ruins Pence's night. There's 100 ways to write
sure
it.
Sure there are.
And they're all different. And I would encourage...
And depending on your target audience, you're going to write your headline that way.
Yeah. And I would just encourage everyone listening to, especially in this really politically polarizing, heated environment that our country has become, to read what happened.
Yes.
Before forming an opinion.
To read what happened and to watch the video, because the video is the same no matter what site you're watching it from. Some have cut out the part at the very beginning where Brandon Victor Dixon said, "There's no need to boo here." We played that. "There's no need to boo. This is a story about love." Some have cut that sentence out, but the statement remains the same no matter what site you watch it on. And you have your own opinions, and that's fine, but I'm trying to figure out why people think it's disrespectful to speak with a respectful tone and manner and choice of words to someone that is supposed to be our elected official. They're not gods. They're people who we've elected. And while half the country elected Donald Trump and Mike Pence, half the country did not vote for Donald Trump and Mike Pence. But all of us now should have the opportunity, if the vice president or president-elect is in front of us, to say something to them in a respectful manner. You can disagree respectfully. You can have public discourse. And people keep harping on, if I went to the theater, they ruined the theater for... They did it after, when everyone was standing up applauding. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, every race that was in that theater, everyone was standing up applauding. And again, by all accounts, Mike Pence had a wonderful time at the theater and said he was not offended.
And you know what? You know
yes,
what else people
ahead,
could do? If you've paid your money, you've seen the show.
You've seen the show.
You've got your opinion. I liked it. I didn't like it. I couldn't understand what they were saying with the rapping.
They
talk
very fast.
Exactly.
Very fast.
But when it's over, you can do what you would do if you didn't like something you saw on your TV set. You could get up and leave.
Well, some of the audience was. This was the end of
the show.
They
were leaving.
People,
a lot of them were leaving already.
You know, that's
but I've been at a lot of plays where the cast will come out not just to bow and appreciate the thanks, but then they will say, well, members of our cast will be coming amongst you. We're taking donations for this charity or that charity. Or when we saw the play about...
Death of a Salesman. Brigadoon.
No, not Brigadoon. With the
Miss Saigon, Beauty and the Beast.
Why do I have these brain things?
Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor.
No, it wasn't the Amazing Technicolor Dream Coat.
That's a good
it was
one.
The Four Seasons.
Jersey
Frankie
Boys.
Valley, Jersey Boys.
Vivaldi?
They actually, not those Four Seasons, they were actually auctioning off stuff to raise money for certain charities. So it wasn't just going around with a little tin can or anything. They were auctioning off like a signed Frankie Valli shirt or a cast album or something like
right,
that.
Right, okay, so they're hanging out.
So you
out.
Could do what you want to do, but that's what a lot of casts do nowadays. They don't just take bows
well,
and then leave.
These guys did this, and somebody is saying, a lot of people are saying, listen, he went to the theater, he should not be called out. Mike Pence is no longer a private guy who can just go to the theater.
He wasn't a private Mike guy Pence, when he was governor.
I understand. Mike Pence is now the vice president-elect of this country, and every move he makes is scrutinized. Everywhere he goes, he is a public figure. I understand he was with his daughter and his nephew. Nobody insulted Mike Pence.
No.
Nobody in this said, you're a bad guy and you better watch us. They said, Cody, play it again for me, please, because... Do you have it?
You know, we had a guest in the audience this evening. Vice President-elect Pence, I see you walking out, but I hope you were here just a few more moments. There's nothing to move here, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to move here. We're all here sharing a story of love. We have a message for you, sir, and we hope that you will hear us out. And I encourage everybody to pull up your phones and tweet and post, because this message needs to be spread far and wide, okay? Vice President-elect Pence, we welcome you, and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton and American Music. We really do. We, sir, we are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir. But we truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. American story told by a diverse group of men and women of different colors, creeds, and orientations.
All right. So again, and for people who say this wasn't the time or the place, when do you get to deliver a message to an elected official of that stature? This was their chance to say to Mike Pence, hey, we may not have voted for you. We're a little nervous. Please don't forget us. And I think any politician should be able to accept that sort of thing. It wasn't criticism. It was, hey, we're here too. Please don't forget us. We got to take a break, right? We'll take a quick break. We'll get back. There's some more calls. We'll get to those. 312-981-7200. Don't forget, Karen Conti will be here after 8 o'clock to answer your legal questions on WGN. Let's go to Michigan. That's where Pat's been holding on. Hi, Pat. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, it's Kat.
Oh, Kat. Hi, Kat. I'm well. How are you?
Great. I'm so glad you brought this up. I am one of those theater types.
Oh, not one of those types.
Yeah, one of those. And there's so much to say about this. I saw Hamilton in Chicago, like it sounds like you did. And that is the message. It's about love and acceptance. And, you know, number one, I can probably guarantee that Mike Pence did not pay for a ticket to go see that.
Well, even if he did. I mean, public officials get comped to stuff all the time. I don't begrudge him that. I wish somebody would give me a ticket.
Absolutely, yes. Number two, I think that, you know, the fact that they said alarmed and anxious, I think they absolutely have a right to believe that, because we all a lot of people know where Mike Pence stands on LGBT and minorities in Indiana. I mean, he had extreme views on LGBT. So I have a lot of friends in the theater community and otherwise that are LGBT and minorities who are alarmed and anxious and are very worried that they're not going to have any rights anymore. So yes, to stand up in, like you said, in their house and make that just very diplomatic statement, I think they had a perfect right. And, you know, to me, I would have a hard time performing for somebody like that.
Nah, I mean, they're professionals, and you know,
yes.
he hasn't started his term yet. We don't know what the administration's going to do. But I think for some people, as you said, fear and anxiety is a natural and well-deserved thing. Kat, I appreciate the call. Thanks very much. We'll go to Kathy. She's on the road. Hi, Kathy. You're on WGN.
Oh, hey, Brian. Great penultimate show. Appreciate it.
Thank
we'll miss you.
Well, we'll be back. Hey, we'll be around.
I know. But anyway, no, I was just saying that Trump brings out the worst in everybody. You've, Brian, gone beyond, above and beyond, trying to be level-headed about this, and there is really nothing in what they're saying that should alarm anybody, and Mike Pence even said the show is good.
Mm-hmm.
So what Donald Trump does is he just brings out the worst in everybody. That's his main problem for America. He just brings out...
Well, I think this campaign and this election divided the country on both sides. There were people on both sides who, you know, the far right, the far left got people fired up. The divisiveness is palpable. We're seeing it now in the week after the election. And I fear we're going to see it for a while. But, you know, it is bringing out the worst in a lot of people, Kathy. I hope that somehow we can get past it, because after January, as I said before, we're all in this together. We got to make the best of whatever's coming, but we have to be diligent, just like we should be with all our elected officials. Kathy,
which
I appreciate...
why the actors took the opportunity to state that.
Right.
So,
yep. I appreciate the call. Thanks very much. All right, we got to get to a break. Then it's news time, and then Karen Conti will be in here, 312-981-7200. If you have a legal question, you may get that in now, because Karen will answer them after the news on WGN. Karen Conti is here to answer your legal questions at 312-981-7200. We have not been here in a while, so I know you have gotten yourself into some sort of legal entanglement that you need help to get out of. Karen is here, as she is whenever we're here on Sundays, so get your calls and questions in quickly. Hello. How are you, stranger? What's going on?
I feel like really rusty. I feel like I need like a legal oil can or something. I haven't been
like
here.
Like Scarecrow or
no.
Tin Man and the Wizard
right.
of Oz?
Yeah, okay. It's been so long and it's so Christmassy. I think last time we were here there were flip-flops and halter tops outside.
Yeah, it was very warm, and plus they've rewrapped the Allstate Showcase studio.
It's
everything's
really
done
special.
And Christmas
yeah.
decoration. So we get 2 weeks and then they send us packing again so the Blackhawks can
play. Well, we'll make the most of it.
I was going to say, let's make the most of it while we're here. A lot of big stories.
Yes.
Let's start with, why not, because I've enraged some people already. Let's start with the settlement for Trump University.
Yeah.
The president-elect settled for $25 million. He then went on to say, listen, I could have won a lot more. He claims that the suit was settled because he's now putting America first, because he's the president-elect and he's got other fish to fry. What does this mean? Because it didn't seem like a lot of money, the $25 million, based on how many people in it was California and New York had filed this suit.
Well, first of all, I think it's a good thing. He should settle everything. This is not
yeah, right?
something you don't you know. Look at what it did with President Clinton with the impeachment and Monica Lewinsky and Paula Jones. It's just a huge distraction that he doesn't need and nor does the country want. That said, it's not nuisance value. $25 million. I mean, I'd bend over and pick that money up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know the exact details of this, but there were two class actions in California,
right.
which can be brought by anybody. For any reason, and it doesn't mean that they're valid that they're brought. But the one in New York was pretty of concern to me because the attorney general found that it was enough fraud that the attorney general itself brought the case.
Now,
so
what's
it takes
the,
quite
what's
a
the
bit.
Difference?
Well, it takes a lot for a government official to decide that something is so fraudulent that and involves so many people that it is of interest that the government needs to bring this case itself. I mean, you
okay.
don't see Lisa Madigan, our attorney general, doing things unless there's an environmental issue or something major where she takes a position and files a lawsuit. So, you know, New York has a lot of things going on in its state, and so for the attorney general there to bring the case, it showed to me that this was of substance.
And yet, $25 million was a settlement. $21 million is going to the people who sued. Only $3 million of that is going to the New York
people.
Yeah, I don't know why. I tried to look that up, and I really couldn't tell why, how they split the money.
Yeah.
But it looks like people are getting back about half the money that they spent, according to what I've read. It's a significant amount of money. I think the attorneys didn't take any money. I don't know why that happened, but that was what a lot of the articles said. Good. I'm glad it's settled. I think all these things should be settled. But again, to have somebody say, "This is I'm just settling it. This is nuisance value. I could have won this case."
Right.
It looked to me like there were some significant problems with it. And mainly the idea is, hey, come to Trump University. I'm going to handpick these professors.
That was
he
it.
Really didn't have much to do with it at all. Lent his name to it. And it turned out not to be a good deal for people. And it rose to the level of fraud, according at least to one attorney general.
Yeah.
So
you know, allegedly again, they just kept being upsold more and more expensive things.
Well, that's right. And again, you know, I think I would have thought that would have been an issue in the campaign. Apparently it was not an issue at all.
Well, a lot of things were
right.
issues. A lot of things were issues. A lot
yeah.
of it, you know, and we could debate that for the next 4 to 8 years.
That's true.
And we
That's
will
true.
See. All right, let's stay on corrupt politicians or allegedly.
Corrupt politicians
allegedly
for 200,
corrupt.
Alex.
Let's go. I'll take Fast Eddie. Let's start out with Fast Eddie. What is another indictment in the last, second indictment in 10 years for former Alderman Edward Doleac?
Well, Edward Doleac is a very interesting man because he's an attorney, or he was an attorney, and, you know, he sort of walks the line. He's one of these guys that I'm telling you, you know, he was in law school, and he was charged with attempted murder. I don't know.
Oh, really?
That's not a big thing that gets talked about, but he represented himself and was acquitted. He has been in trouble
wow.
for a bunch of things. As you call, was that about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
He had the kickback scheme, and he went to jail for about 10 months on that. Again, this was a kind of a complicated transaction. This is where, do you remember years ago, 46 states got together and said, listen, we're going to sue the tobacco companies
right.
because we, as states, put out all this money in Medicaid for all the sick people that we right. had to give health care to, and now we're going to blame the tobacco companies. So there was a huge settlement of like
$9.2 billion.
So the lawyers really did, you know, made out because the lawyers who represent the states got paid a contingent interest, and apparently there was some deal, according to the government, that Verdoliak was supposed to get a kickback or a referral fee from some or one or a few of the lawyers who were involved in this for not really doing any work.
Right.
Which lawyers do that. We have referral fees, but it has to be in writing, and there has to be there are rules about it. So there was also the issue of paying taxes on
well,
it.
Well, I think that's the government frowns on that when you don't pay your taxes.
And that's how they get you. You know, they
talk
you know,
to Al Capone.
Al Capone. As we all know, when they couldn't get him on anything else, they get him on tax evasion. It wasn't a huge amount of money, is my understanding. But listen, when you're Ed Verdoliak, you've walked the line before. You only did 10 months for another scheme. A lot of people thought he should have had a lot more time than that. They are watching you. It's like the Mel
yeah.
Reynolds. You know, Mel Reynolds could sneeze, and they're going to indict him because of all the problems
right.
he's had in
they
the past.
They know he's up to something.
Exactly.
Or they think he's up to something.
Exactly. And, you know, the problem for Eddie is that he's older now. I want to
gonna
say
be 80.
He's like almost 79, 80.
Yeah.
So, you know, going to jail, I don't care if it's a federal prison. I don't care if it's a nice one. I don't care if it's minimum security. It's still prison, and you don't want to be there when you're 80 years old.
So they say he could face up to 5 years if convicted of both counts.
That's right.
You've seen cases like this. Does this get pled down? Do they make deals when a guy's 80 years old? The government doesn't play when it comes to taxes
well,
and things like
the
that.
The problem is the federal sentence. He's got a good lawyer. Mike Modico is a great lawyer, a great friend of mine. He'll do a good job. I am quite sure.
I've heard that. He's
yeah.
he's a high profile guy.
Yeah, he's done a lot of work on this station.
Okay.
He does commentary. He's an excellent lawyer. And I think what's going to happen, it'll be pled down. But the problem is when you have a past criminal history in the federal world, mm-hmm. that gets counted against you. And so for the sentencing guidelines, which really are not guidelines, they're sort of mandatory,
yeah.
That puts your sentence higher and higher. So he's had these other issues and the amount of money, and you add all those things together, and I don't think he's going to get the maximum sentence here, but he could do a few years.
Okay.
Unless he wants to roll the dice and go to trial. And you know, you just the feds always win.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
in Chicago, there are very few cases we see where the criminal defendants are successful.
Well, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to watch. I remember He was always in the news. He was always, there was always something
controversial.
Going on with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lightning rod.
Very, very bright guy. I laugh because I used to do a lot of criminal work. I don't do much of it anymore. But there are people who, most people, when they get involved in the criminal system or even the civil system, they get divorced. I don't want to go anywhere near a lawyer. I don't want to be in court. I don't want to pay any more money. I'm going to stay out of the system. I'll never go there again.
Right.
That's how most people are, because it really is a horrible way to spend your time and
some
money.
Some people always think they're above the law, right?
There are people who walk that line and enjoy it. And I almost think it's addictive. I think it's like gambling. And I think sometimes they think they're a little smarter than everyone else. And I'm not saying that about Edward Joliet because I don't know him. But why does he keep running into the law like this? Why doesn't he just go off into the sunset with his millions of dollars that he made from a great attorney practice that he had? He's got lots of friends and lots of good family. And
Relax. Just go and relax.
Get a rocking chair. You know, I don't know.
Go fishing. Take up golf.
Yeah.
You know, counsel people. Who knows? All right. Karen Conti is here. She is set to answer your legal questions. We have some texts and phone calls already coming in. We will get to those on the other side. But if you need a legal question answered, 312-981-7200 or during the week, because we are very sporadically here.
You can call me, 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
More with Karen after this, WGN. Let's get right to the phones. Elise has been hanging on. She's in Palatine. Hi, Elise. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. How is everybody?
We're well. Thank you.
Great. My question is, if you're married and your husband has property in his name only and he dies, is the wife responsible for continuing with any financial responsibilities? And if not, what happens then?
Okay, so the property, let me just ask you, was it acquired during the marriage in his name, or did he have it like from an inheritance or something?
He had it before they were married.
Okay, and is there a will or trust that really?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
So the wife then would inherit that property. Were there children?
Not together, no.
Okay. So
he has children and she has children.
Okay, so they're the children and the wife are going to probably share in the property. The question is, does the property have a lot of expenses attended to it? Is that a problem, like paying taxes?
One is a boat. And
that property.
The boat is paid for, and it's just storage fees. The other is a timeshare.
Okay. Well, what should happen is, you know, everything should immediately be sold. If the parties don't want to keep that property and there's expense attended to it, the first thing you should do is put it for sale. But the estate should pay for all the expenses in the meantime. The timeshare is tricky because the timeshare probably is a liability. And as I know these things, they're hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of companies that say they can get rid of these timeshares, and I've never seen one do it, to tell you the truth. So that might be something that has ongoing liability, but fortunately it would probably only be for the husband when he dies. If it's not in anybody else's name, it will die with him. So that debt will die with him. Yeah.
Okay, so she wouldn't be held responsible for the boat or the timeshare.
If the boat is still there, you know, the estate will be responsible for it. So if the estate, does the estate have other assets? When I say estate, like did the husband have like bank accounts and other assets?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that money has to be used to pay the expenses, okay, until that boat is sold and you get the boat out of there, you have to pay all of those fees. So think of it,
gotcha.
The estate is I always think of it as like a barrel, okay? So you throw all the debts in there, you throw all the assets go to pay all the debts, you sell everything off, you give everything to whomever, and then whatever is left is kept by the people who inherit the estate.
Okay, but the timeshare, she would not be responsible for that.
Unless her name was on it, no.
Okay, good. Thank
All
you
right,
very
Elise.
Much.
You're welcome, Lise.
Glad that helped.
All right.
All right, so we have a text that keeps jumping around. Hold on one second. Da, da, da.
It was about a, oh, here it is. If I get, from the 847, if I get a cell phone ticket while driving, does that go on my record like a regular speeding ticket? Do I need to go to court to keep my premiums down?
No. The first, if it's your first offense, that does not go on your record. There's a fine scale of fines for that, 150, I don't know, 200, something like that. But the second one will go on your record as a moving violation and could impact your insurance and then count toward your moving violation. So first one, you get a free shot there.
Okay.
Not to say that you should drive and talk on your cell phone.
Not on your own.
So, yeah, you get that does not go on your record.
So that's just a citation. You just pay the fine. You're all
that's
set.
That's correct.
That goes away.
That's
but then
correct.
The second time, all right. Listen, I think it should go on your record the first time.
You
quite
think
frankly,
so?
Yes. I think we've been in a hands-free state for how many years? It's well known you're not supposed to be talking on your cell phone.
I agree with you, but I don't even like the hands-free. I go into cabs all the time, and those guys are talking on the, and they don't, I don't know if they even know what they're doing because they're talking. They're so animated in talking to people. Not,
right.
I'm not talking about just cab drivers, of course. I'm talking about anybody. You know, talking on a hands-free, your mind is somewhere else.
Right.
Just because your hands aren't on the phone doesn't mean you're not. Your mind is somewhere
well,
else.
Well, that's it. You're distracted either way.
That's right.
And sometimes people will argue something. Well, if I'm holding the phone, I'm actually having to pay more attention to driving because I'm only have one hand and I don't know.
I mean, it's a good rule, generally speaking, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
And, well, listen, you have drivers, don't you? You have people that chauffeur you about, your big shot.
You know what? I don't like driving.
No?
I don't like driving. And if I like driving, it's in the city only. I don't like getting on the highway. I don't really like the suburbs. I don't really know where I'm going.
Really?
But I'm in the city. I know where I'm going, and I don't mind it.
Oh,
it's
I
weird.
See.
I'm the opposite of most people.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I
despise driving in the city because of the traffic and the pedestrians and the bikes and all that. But put me on the open road, and I will drive all day.
Yeah.
All day.
If I had all the money in the world, my first luxury would be a driver.
Really?
I don't get these celebrities that go out and, like, drink and drive in Paris.
No, if you've got that kind of money,
give
have somebody
me a driver.
Drive you.
Tell me, I'll tell you where to go, and you're going to go there. And
right.
I'll
and they're
the
waiting
hat.
For you? Would you make them wear the hat?
No. We'd have a lot of fun together.
What do you call you, Miss Daisy? How would this work? how would this work? I like your scenario, but I'm just trying to picture the whole thing
got
out in my head.
I got the jacuzzi in the back. I got the...
Wow, you're like poison. You're like...
Sushi on a platter. I got it all.
Wow. You're like some crazed rock star. I like that. The stretch limo with the hot tub. I got to get a ride with you somewhere. A lawyer had me disable my mom's malpractice case for 2 years. Oh, wait. A lawyer had my disabled mom's malpractice case for 2 years. He sent her a letter that he dropped her case. She needs a new lawyer by December 8th. Can you please text me your number. You can give out your number, Karen, so people
sure.
can get a hold of you to get a
and
referral.
And you don't have much time here. This is
no.
Time is of the essence.
It's a week from Thursday.
Yeah, and I'm going to just give you a little advice if you're listening still that you should tell that lawyer to maybe get an extension of that date because that is not enough time for a lawyer to look at the case, read the file, get an expert to look at the records and make sure that it's a case that he or she wants to take. There's a lot of expense involved. When you are a malpractice lawyer, I don't do that kind of work, but I do know that's a very difficult short length of time, especially with the holiday going on. Yeah.
Right.
But call me, and I'll see if I can refer you to somebody who might take a look at it quickly. 312-332-7800. Better yet, email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com and give me a few details about who the prior lawyer was and what kind of malpractice case it was and where it was filed, what county, because that is going to help me.
And is that a common thing for attorneys to drop cases?
I don't know why that lawyer dropped a case. Is it because they got to how do you take a case for 2 years and then drop it? You know, is it because the client is being unreasonable in settlement offers and demands? Is it because you lost a motion that took away a lot of your case? I don't know the answer to that.
All right. Karen Conti's here. 312-981-7200 is how you get your legal questions answered. We'll get more with Karen on the other side of the news on WGN. This is your last Sunday night for the year. Now, next Sunday is our last show for the year, but you're going to be in some sun-drenched beach somewhere, reclining,
right.
Enjoying yourself.
That's right. I'm going to be having turkey tacos.
That's very nice. Sounds delicious.
If all goes well.
Man, that sounds all right.
There's supposed to be some kind of strike at O'Hare, like the day before.
Yeah.
Like all the baggage handlers and everyone, they want $15 an hour, and they're all going to go on strike, and I'm going to be sitting there. I can just see it now.
Yeah, they said, Roger, did you say tomorrow is when they're announcing the dates?
Yeah, they're supposed to announce the dates tomorrow, right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Cinnabon for Thanksgiving. That's me sitting at the airport.
Well, listen, you don't have to say it. Once you figure out you're not getting out, you're not going to sit at the airport. You're going to hire one of your drivers to take you all the way to wherever you're going, sunny and warm.
Your house.
Yeah, because I have a sun lamp set up in the basement to keep my permatan going like George Harrison. So you guys are welcome to come over,
I'll
have a couple turkey pot pies.
All right.
Maybe I run out to Boston Market. I cater things in. We have a big spread. Of course, I'll be here Thanksgiving, so you'll be eating with the dog. But other than that, I think you'll have a wonderful time. You're always welcome. You know that.
I don't like fighting for food.
No. Well, she's pretty demure. Just yell at her and growl. She'll run away. You can have your, just leave her the scraps. That's all
I'll do that.
Be nice. So Karen is only here for another 25 minutes. If you have a legal question that you think must be answered before the end of the year, this is the time to get it in now. 312-981-7200. Dave was smart. He called us. Hi, Dave. You're on WGN.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Karen?
Yes.
My mother died a couple of years ago, and we finally sold the house just a little more than a year ago. Now, one of my siblings made off with a lot of the artwork, paintings and sculptures, and he had no right to do that. Now, I should have photographed them and cataloged them, but I didn't. I trusted him, and he's being very evasive about where they are. And, can I take some kind of legal action towards him, like a court order to show where they are, what he's done with them, or anything like that?
Let me ask you this. Did your mother's estate go through probate, meaning did it go through the court process, or was there a trust, or what happened?
Well, I think it went through something, and, we were getting the house ready, and my brother just... nothing was specifically willed. No objects or tangible items were specifically willed to anybody in particular. He just took it
upon himself, right?
Yeah.
This happens all the time, and usually it happens right after someone dies. They go in and they take what they want, which is really disgusting. But my question was more toward, did you have a lawyer help you through the process? Because if that were the case, I would say go to that lawyer that helped you through the probate process and say, did that issue come up in court? Because that would have been the time to deal with it if the estate was still open. If there was no court appearances or no court involvement, then you would probably have to hire a lawyer. And, I don't know what this stuff is worth. Is it worth money on the market, or is it just stuff that you guys would want to split if you had your options?
Yeah, I mean, they were original oils. Nothing really all that valuable. But he made off with them and some other things. And I just want to know what kind of court this would take place in.
I would have to know a little bit more, and why don't you send me an email at my office? Because if the case is still in probate, meaning it's still in the courthouse for the will and all of those issues, that would be the time to go into that court and get an order.
But I think all of that is over with, because, I mean, we sold the house a year ago.
Okay.
So I
still don't know, because it could be that should have happened during that process, and if it didn't, you might be barred now from doing that. I don't know, but if you aren't barred from doing it, there's an action called replevin, which means I want back the stuff that you took wrongfully. And you
What's
would bring,
that term again?
It's called replevin. Replevin, R-E-P-L-E-V-I-N. And
okay.
If you look up the statute in Illinois on replevin, it'll tell you you can sue under that law that basically says you can get your stuff back. You file it in court, and you ask the court for an order returning the stuff. Now, my concern would be that he took the stuff and he's going to hide it and say, I didn't take it. I don't have it. Too bad. You got an order, but I can't return something I don't have.
I have emails proving that he took it. My aunt offered to store it in her house, but he came by one day, and instead of dropping it off at her house, he decided to take it to his house. Mm. That I can prove.
Okay.
If she's willing to testify.
Okay.
But apart from that,
Yeah, why don't you send me an email, because the key is going to be who gets to sue. Is it the estate? Who's the trustee? Is this in court? Was this in court? I need to answer some of those questions before I tell you what you
What's
should
What's that
do.
Email address?
It's kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at... kcontilaw.com.
All right. Good luck,
yeah,
Dave.
Good luck, Dave.
Hope it works out. Replevin.
Replevin.
That's the word of the day. Look at us throwing, look at you throwing out vocabulary, people soaking it up, learning things.
It's giving my stuff back. That's what it means in Latin.
Ah, all right. 4 years of Latin in high school, I didn't know what that meant. All right. What does it mean from the 773? What does it mean to have a home in trust? Does that mean you don't own it even though you've paid for it?
Well, there's a bunch of different answers to that question. I'd have to know more. But a lot of people put their assets, including their home, in trust, which means that you don't really own it yourself. The trust, which is sort of a fictional entity, owns the trust, and it helps protect your assets from creditors in some ways. But what it really does is it helps it pass through when you die. When you die, then you don't own it, so the trust owns it, and then the trust, by its own terms, will deal with how it's distributed, right, meaning it will be sold or it will be given to your children or the like. So if the house is in trust, it's technically, and it should be titled in the name of the trust. So if you actually look up the property, it will say the Brian Noonan Trust of January 1st, 2017, or whatever it is. But, yeah, you don't own it, and you have to refinance in the name of the trust, so you keep that fiction up if your house is in the trust.
But in the real world, you're still paying for it. It's just it's protected for when you die or if you're sued or things like that.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Let's go. We've got some calls coming in, so we'll wait as Cody deals with them. He likes to Cody likes to chit-chat. He tries to give his own advice. He plays a game. I don't know if you know this. He gives his legal advice, and then he sees if it matches your legal advice. And if it does, the caller pays him a dollar. If it does not, he pays the caller a dollar. That's how it
works. Cody making money on the side.
Well, I got a feeling he's losing more than he's making. Let's talk about the always entertaining, and I say that with tongue firmly in cheek. Boy, Drew Peterson. The Supreme Court decided they would hear the argument over this Drew Peterson law.
Here's what I'm worried about, because I think he's guilty, and I don't like the man, and he belongs in jail, and he probably will be in jail. But the Illinois Supreme Court takes so few cases. They take less than 5% of all cases. They're not a court that you get to go to.
Right.
They pick the cases, okay? So less than 5% actually get into the Illinois Supreme Court. They chose this case because they wanted to hear it. And in cases that are criminal cases that they take, they reverse, meaning they change the verdict in over 50% of them.
Oh.
So the fact that they took it and the fact it's a criminal case bodes well for Mr. Peterson. Now, he's got another conviction.
Sure.
He tried to
murder for hire.
Murder the state's attorney out in Will County, so he's got that going for him. But the Supreme Court is an interesting court because what they like to do is they're a more lofty court. And what they're not concerned as much with what happens to the litigants themselves. They're kind of more concerned with What is the law? What does this mean for the future of the law?
Right.
And they're looking at this hearsay thing. Remember they had Stacey Peterson's testimony and statements come into court even though it was hearsay because they determined that Drew Peterson himself had committed murder with her and basically stopped her from testifying. And in that regard, her statements get to come into court even though they're technically hearsay.
Right.
Very complicated. But the Supreme Court is looking at that issue, and it could very well overturn his conviction based on that.
Wow. So you said over 50% or over 50% they overturned?
About 50%. A little bit.
That's still
50%.
Pretty good.
It's really good.
Because if you look at the U.S., courts, I was going to say, how often do things get overturned?
I don't know what the stat is on that. Probably similar. But the fact that they took the case means they're interested. They are asking questions about this hearsay thing. You know, they could leave the case as it is.
Mm-hmm.
They could reverse it altogether and have him have a new trial. Or they could say, you know what? They shouldn't have brought that hearsay in, but there was sufficient evidence to convict him anyway.
Okay.
So there's like kind of three things they can do, and we'll have to wait and see.
But with the Glasgow thing, that's staying,
intact,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's
got another set of appeals on that.
Okay.
And that'll go up and down the court system. And you know, again, I just see that this issue is kind of a academic issue that, you know, if this were, you know, is Drew Peterson guilty, I don't think he'd have a chance at all. But because the Supreme Court looks at things in a different light, he might have a fair shot at getting this reversed.
Now, could then it be retried? Could those charges be brought again?
Yes, they would be retried.
They would be.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not, there, there doesn't seem to be a chance of him walking out of jail anytime soon.
No, no, and he wouldn't be released on bail anyway. Right. Plus, he's got the other conviction.
Right.
My only concern is maybe he'll get some really good lawyers there, and you know, and frankly, that case was a difficult case because,
yeah.
As you recall, that was the Kathleen Savio case. That was
right.
The case where the first autopsy said it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's not reasonable doubt, you know, it's a hard case to win.
Right. And then these were the pastor giving statements that she had made to him, supposedly.
And that Stacy had made to him about, I'm afraid that my husband killed the, you know. Yeah. So that's hearsay and double hearsay.
Well, it got in. So we will definitely be watching. All right, let's take a quick break. Karen Conti is here for a few more minutes. 312-981-7200. That's how you get your legal questions answered. But as you know, Karen, people will wait. And then next week they'll say, where's Karen? And I'll say, well, last week I told you Karen wasn't coming. She's on vacation. And then they'll be mad at me. So how can people get a hold of you during the week?
It's all about you, Brian.
No, it's all about,
really?
It's all about them
about
getting a hold of you so I don't have to take the brunt of it. I want you to deal with legal questions and me to deal with whatever it is I deal with.
What is it that you deal
with? It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's just not legal questions.
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right, more with Karen on the other side. It's WGN. Jamie's been hanging on in Chicago. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
We're well, thanks. What's your question?
What is the case where a school is owed a bill, a private school is owed a bill, are they allowed to divulge a minor's standing in payment when the bill is not the minor, but the minor's adult parents?
I'm not sure I understand that, Jamie. Can you try that again?
Okay.
Who is owed the money?
A private school, a private, say, grammar school, is owed the money.
From who?
And they're from the parents.
Oh, okay.
It's like tuition.
Okay.
Okay, and because of illness, the parent was behind, has every intention of paying it really within the next month. But they went ahead and told the minor's high school that they're in the arrears, that the child is in the arrears, and even though the child is on the honor roll, there's a threat that he will not be accepted back. At the high school because of this at the grammar school. And I don't think that they have anything, they should have anything to go, you know, connected at all.
Okay. So are they connected? Is the grade school and the high school
not,
somehow
no,
affiliated?
Not. The only way that they're not affiliated at all. They are both private schools underneath the archdiocese, but that's it. They're both two separate companies.
Yeah, I don't know if there's no privacy. There's no like HIPAA kind of privacy if you don't pay your bill. I would imagine, I don't know how that communication happened. It seems to me strange that a school administrator would call up a high school and say, listen, this kid is not, unless the high school makes a habit of calling the grade school saying, is this kid
they
all paid up?
They did not.
But I don't. There's no right to privacy when it comes to not paying your bills. So, I mean, it sounds strange to me, and it sounds kind of weird. But I don't think there's anything legally wrong with that communication.
All right. Sorry, Jamie. Wish we could have helped a little more. All right. From I don't know where this is from, but it's a text. Hi. Someone hit my car, and it turns out she didn't pay her premiums, so her insurance won't pay for the damage to my car. What now? I'm calling and texting her, trying to be nice and ask her to pay my deductible, and it's getting a little crabby because she's ignoring me. My damage was minor. The number was scratched up and the bumper was scratched up, I'm guessing, and needed to be repainted and buffed. And yes, there is a police report.
So it didn't go to court because what you would normally do if it went to court is you'd go to the court and you'd tell the judge that person didn't have insurance and that person then could lose their license until they pay the damage.
Okay.
There might be a way to report that person to the authorities and have them, you know, and get them into trouble enough that they would pay your deductible. I'm not sure.
What
I know
authorities
exactly.
Would you report?
Yeah,
them?
And I don't know if that would be the Secretary of State, because you know, if you get in an accident and you don't have insurance, you can lose your license until you, like mm-hmm. I said, you pay the damage. But I'm just not sure how it works if it doesn't go to court. That's where I see it. I'll tell people, go to court, tell the judge, and then maybe there'll be an order from the judge that this has to be paid.
If you have a police report, as it sounds like this person does, and they've gone through this, how is it too late to go to court?
Well, what I'm saying is if it usually results in a ticket. Like if there's a ticket where the person then has to come and defend the moving violation.
I see. Okay,
but this
sounds
like maybe it wasn't a moving violation. It happened in a parking lot or something, and there wasn't a court date. Maybe this was just a citation of some type. You know, the bottom line is if you don't want to get this person in trouble, the second alternative would be to bring him to small claims court. But is it worth it? What's your deductible? $500. You're going to go to court. This person didn't have insurance, so does this person have any assets? So even if you go and you get a judgment, does the person have a job? Does the person have an asset you could take away? And do you want to go through all that work? I mean, you could probably threaten that person with reporting that person to the authorities. If you want to send me a quick email, I'll look up and see if there's a way to report this and to get, you know, to maybe get this person motivated into paying the deductible.
Yeah, it would seem like there'd be something. But what's that email address?
It's kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
And I know we've talked about accidents before and things like that, but there is a responsibility. Obviously, this person hit, you know, the person who texted us was hit by somebody else, and they are responsible.
Yeah, they are insurance. Responsible.
What about the insurance company that person was with? Do they hold any liability because they insured them up to a certain point or no?
Well, and I've had this case. I had a case once where I worked on it with somebody where the person was pretty badly injured and the person didn't have insurance. But it turned out that the insurance company didn't give the appropriate notices of termination. Under Illinois law and most state law, you have to do, as an insurance company, you've got a notice and then you've got a warning and then you've got a final warning.
Yeah.
And you have to do that because it's important that people, you know, who don't pay attention to their mail, because there's plenty of people who don't.
Sure.
Know that their insurance is terminating because it's a very serious matter.
And there's a nice paper trail.
And
then,
in this case, the company, which was a substandard insurance company, which means they don't pay claims and they don't do things right anyway, they didn't give the proper notice, and so we were able to, you know, to get them to cover it. So, but the bottom line is that a person who lets insurance lapse probably doesn't have the money to pay it, or is irresponsible. They're not calling you back, which is irresponsible. And if they get a judgment against themselves, they're going to be irresponsible, too. And I always just, the system works only as well as the litigants are interested in protecting their credit scores and doing the right thing. And if you've got someone who's just, you know.
Yeah, they don't care one way or another.
Yeah, he's not, you know, it may not be worth your trouble.
All right, we have another text question. I'm not sure if you know anything about this. Quite interested to know, says Carol from the 708, if President-elect Trump does not put his companies in an actual blind trust, are there any repercussions? Because he has said that to avoid conflict of interest, he will put his companies in a blind trust that will be administered by his children.
Well, my understanding of the law is that certain members of the government cannot have outside interests, but the president and vice president, there's no rule on it.
Oh.
So, but on the other hand, the presidents really never are running any business. And the problem with conflicts of interest are incredible, because if any of these things are in court, then, you know, he can, you know, he's a branch of government. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like having a, you know, it would just be horrible. It would be an impossible twist. There would be people wanting to impeach him. There'd be people recusing themselves. It would just cause so many problems. But wouldn't be illegal. I don't see anything illegal about it.
Can you give us a 30-second definition of blind trust?
Not really.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I assume, because I'm listening like everybody else is, that a blind trust would be something where you'd basically put the children, you know, in charge of it, but he couldn't be notified of what's going on. He knows nothing what's going on. He doesn't have any access to books and records until and unless he, you know, comes back into it, probably after he gets voted out of office or he retires from government office. Then he can go back and run the companies again.
All right. Well, I can't believe I'm going to say this to you. Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Because this is it for you for this year.
Oh, this is so sad.
Hopefully, it is. I can't believe it. Hopefully, we'll see you January 1st. We don't know.
Maybe we'll do a rundown of all the legal stories like we normally do. Yes.
We'll have an update of like 8 weeks of legal stories.
That's right.
We'll start with Thanksgiving. Have a lovely Thanksgiving.
To you and to everybody else.
Thank you. We'll do this, and then we will say goodnight. Give your phone number and your email one more time.
312-332-7800 or kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
All right. Thank y'all.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the program and the conversation. Hey, guess what? We'll be back next week. Yes, we have another Sunday show. I'll be in Wednesday and Thursday for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes celebrating your Thanksgiving with you, so listen then. And don't forget, Cody and I will be going live on Facebook within the next couple minutes for the first part of the web-exclusive podcast. You can catch the rest of it always at WGNRadio.com. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Cody. We will talk to you soon. Rick Kogan comes your way on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. 9 o'clock, Roger Badish.